she is, that's Molly Goldberg, folks, a woman with a place in every heart and a finger in every pie. And now the makers of New Duds, that new kind of soap for everything right down your wash line, bring you another visit with those good folks, the Goldbergs.
Mr. Collier.
What? You two here again?
Well, yes, we'd like a word with you. It's about New Duds.
Now, look, we went into all that when you were here last week.
Yes, but we wanted to tell you
and
that...
when I told you that this New Duds is a soap for everything in your wash, what did you say?
We said we didn't believe you.
In fact, you told me you didn't see how this one granulated soap could do all three kinds of wash.
Well, we didn't see how this same Duds could be so safe for rayon slips...
and still get work shirts clean.
And towels snowy white.
Well, Duds does it. All three kinds of wash. If you'd only try it, you'd see Duds is a really new kind of granulated soap. It's Procter & Gamble's new soap discovery.
But that's what we came to tell you. We did try Duds.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so?
Honestly, Mr. Collier, you were right. Duds really washes my rayon slips beautifully.
Well, of course. Duds is far safer for those pretty rayons than any of the four other leading granulated wash day soaps.
But what amazed me most is how wonderfully clean Duds gets my husband's work shirt. I don't have to do any hard scrubbing.
Well, didn't I tell you? You can't buy a soap that gets clothes clean easier than Duds.
And, Mr. Collier, you should see how snowy white Duds gets my towel.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen whiter washes than I get with Duds.
Well, I told you Duds would show you how really white your towels and linens could be. There's not another soap of any kind, bar, chip, or granules, that gets clothes whiter than Duds.
And yet it's so safe.
Why, sure, that's why it's one soap for everything in your wash. Remember, Duds is not just a new improvement of an old soap, but a really new kind of granulated soap. You've never before been able to buy a soap quite like it. So, ladies, just get a big red and white box of Duds, D-U-Z, today. And next wash day, let Duds do everything. And now, the Goldbergs. Before the wave finally crashes on the beach, it's hard to tell at what point it'll break. And you can always hope it will break before or behind you. And so it was with the Goldberg family and the wave of Rosie's love affair. There was always the hope that the force would rush away and leave her standing and untouched. Then, suddenly, Walter Jerome not only broke off his engagement with another girl, but he and his mother had an open quarrel in front of the Goldbergs, which ended with Mrs. Jerome saying that if Walter preferred poverty and Rosie Goldberg, he could have them both. She said he was on his own. Poor Jake took to bed with a raging headache. And as the door slams, it certainly isn't a soothing influence that's coming in.
Who came in?
Me, Seymour.
I'll be right down, Seymour.
Is everything all right? Don't rush. Don't disturb yourself.
Hello, Seymour. Mr. Goldberg is not feeling so.
Is there any wonder?
What did I do with the bicarbonate?
Mr. Goldberg's nerves, evidently.
I just had the bicarbonate here.
I'm not surprised.
What did I do with that bicarbonate?
And I don't wonder. Save yourself a lot of heartaches and help Walter Jerome make his decision, Mrs. Goldberg.
He already made his decision.
Definitely?
Give me that spoon, Seymour.
Did he make his definite decision?
The spoon, please, Seymour.
Here, Mrs. Goldberg.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Goldberg, what an individual does when he's angry is one thing, and what he does when in the same moment is something else again, Mrs. Goldberg. Mrs. Goldberg, you shouldn't permit it. You'll be under a tremendous obligation to Walter Jerome for the rest of your life if he gives up everything for Rosie. If he's cut off without a penny after living with a golden spoon.
Yeah. Are you getting the bicarbonate?
I have. I'm unstirring it now. Don't you see Seymour?
Hello, Seymour.
Well.
Excuse me.
I won't express my opinion if you don't want me to.
What opinion?
about the current event.
What current event?
You know as well as I do, Sammy.
Yeah, I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
I mean Walter's disinheritance.
How do you know about that?
It came to me, but that isn't the point. It isn't how I know, but what I think.
Listen, Seymour. Nobody cares what you think about this. It has nothing to do with you.
Do you deny that I'm a friend of the family? Do you deny that I'm concerned because I have certain sacred feelings towards your sister? I admit that I've been cast aside for Walter Jerome, but at the same time, my obligations towards your family remain. After all, you all befriended me when I was alone and helpless in the world. The least I can do is advise you.
There's nothing to advise.
Indeed there is. Indeed there is. You're Rosie's brother. You should have the courage to aid your sister in this her hour of danger.
All right, Seymour.
Not all right, Sammy. Why should Rosie be forced to devote the rest of her life to Walter Jerome just because his mother is forcing the issue? Deliberately forcing the issue, I may say.
Get to the point, Seymour.
The point is simple. If Walter Jerome is giving up the lap of luxury, if he's cutting himself off from the life of his family and friends, from wealth, position, and influence, all because of Rosie, then he has a right to expect that your family and Rosie will appreciate it. That means you have the duty to help him, protect him, and Rosie, by permitting it, lets the world know that she's engaged to Walter for better or worse. That's the situation in a nutshell.
Daddy?
Yes, Ma?
Our potatoes soon are pending. I'll get them, Ma.
I don't see them.
I'll go to the drugstore if you want me to.
Hello, Seymour.
Hello, Rosie.
Are these Papa's headache pills, Rosie?
Yes.
Take them up.
Please, Sammy, you take them up. Papa acts as
I'll take them up.
Well, why don't you sit down, Rosie?
I'm all right, Seymour, thank you.
Do you mind if I speak to you, Rosie? Not as someone who hoped that someday, but as a friend with no access to grind and no ulterior motive. Only your future welfare at heart, believe
me. Seymour, it has been so much talk, please.
What I want to say isn't merely talk. It's advice.
I don't need any advice.
You do, Rosie, you do. You're too sensitive. You're too delicate to assume the responsibility of a person's future. You should have somebody assume the responsibility of your future, not the other way.
I don't know what you mean.
If Walter decides to give up everything for you...
He has decided.
Then you must decide whether you want him to.
He's giving up everything for me.
Now, at this moment, you're flattered that he should make that choice. But you're only thinking of the present moment. Gee, it's not easy for me to speak this way to you, Rosie. You must be questioning my motives. I love you, Rosie, and I never had the least promise of a return. But my desire for your happiness outweighs my selfish love. If you can believe that, I'll proceed. If you doubt it, I'll cease.
I believe you. What do you want to say?
When a first blush of romance fades, Rosie, and Walter Jerome realizes what he gave up for you, then...
Yes?
See, you're angry.
When he realizes what he gave up?
You're mad you're not hearing
when
me.
When he realizes what he gave up for me?
You're making it very difficult for me, Rosie.
I don't mean to, Seymour. What do you want to say?
He'll resent you, Rosie. When he has to walk and not ride. When he has to work and not play. When he has to think for himself instead of having others think for him. When he has to struggle and start from the first rung of the ladder and not start at the top. When he stumbles and falls and hurts himself. His skin is thin, Rosie. It'll bruise easily. He won't blame his mother. He'll blame you.
My father wants to see you, Seymour.
I spoke from the bottom of my heart, Rosie. Excuse me.
What was he saying?
Nothing. Will Walter resent me, Sandy?
Depends on how much he loves you.
Sammy.
What?
Take up a cold compress for Papa. And go up, Sammy, and stay there, please. And see that Seymour don't talk too much. Tell Papa I'm making him a little weak tea. He'll swallow a cup. Maybe he'll feel better.
Okay.
Oh, give me a chair, Rosie. Let me sit down. I could also swallow a cup. Think my head also feels so. Give me the chair, darling.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm beside myself also. Oh, Papa should go to bed and stay ready in bed. And not get up for supper. Maybe he'll feel better altogether.
Mama, darling.
Yes, Rosalie.
What do you think, Mama, darling? Will he resent me? Will Walter resent me because he's giving up everything for me? Have I the right to accept it?
That depends, Mama. That depends on how much he loves you, not how much you love him. It's a question for the future, Rosalie, darling. Very easy. Very simple. And very easy on the spur of the moment to give up things you always had. A person is so used to them that that means nothing. That's the way people are, Mama. When you're healthy and you're well and your body don't ache and don't hurt and don't pain, imagining a pain seems very unimportant. But when the pains come and the aches come, then it's something else.
But he must love me, Mama, darling, if he's willing to give up everything.
Only the future can tell how much his money and his parents and his automobiles and his boats and then his houses and his old way of life means to him. Only the future can tell. And only the future will, Rosalie.
But, Mama, darling, how can I know what to do? How can I?
This is Walter's doing, Rosalie. Not yours. You must feel that, Mama. What he gives up, he's giving up very freely. He's not making a bargain with, how shall I say it? He's not making a bargain with fate, that if he gives up this, he has a right to that. You mustn't feel that, Rosalie. And he has no right to ask it.
Right away.
Emo?
Yeah. You're sitting on my hat, Mrs. Goldberg.
I'm sitting on your hat?
Yeah.
Here. Sitting on your hat?
Yeah.
Here. Where are you going?
To the drugstore. Mr. Goldberg agrees with me. And he's feeling much, much worse.
And Seymour leaves, having painted the ultimate picture of gloom. And yet there is a great measure of truth in what Seymour says. Walter's step may very well be decisive not only for Rosie, but even Molly. Say, before you do your supper dishes tonight, just ask yourself this. Are you using one of those halfway soaps? You are if it's a tough granulated soap because it holds back on safety for your hands. Or if it's a bar soap, it doesn't have real speed. But you can forget such halfway soaps now that new Dove is here. You see, Dove is that amazing new kind of granulated soap that does everything in your wash. And for dishes, too, Dove has everything. Everything from whirlwind speed to greater kindness for your hands. Notice how soft and comfortable your hands feel after doing dishes with Dove. In fact, not one of the four other leading granulated wash day soaps can give your hands such extra gentle care. Yet see how fast Dove cuts tough grease without you doing any hard scouring. Why, no soap made can beat Dove for speedy dishwashing. Remember, you can tell by the suds how really new and different Dove is. Try it today. Dove has everything for dishes. Be sure to listen to the next episode of The Goldbergs, written for you by Gertrude Berg. Tomorrow, Seymour's prophecy rings out with a note of truth. This is Clayton Collier wishing you good day for Procter & Gamble, makers of Dove, the new kind of granulated soap for all three kinds of wash.